welcome to the RWE conference call. Markus Krebber, CFO of RWE AG, will inform you about the developments in the first three quarters of fiscal 2017. I will now hand over to Gunhild Grieber.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everyone on the phone and to those of you who joined us via the webcast. I'm joined here by Markus Krebber for the presentation on the first nine months of fiscal year 2017. We know that your focus is probably not so much on our numbers, but rather the coalition talks in Berlin. However, I hope you do understand that we cannot comment on the current discussions as we are not ourselves part in those. As with our previous presentations, we will concentrate on RWE standalone. Where appropriate, we show the relevant group figures, which you can also find in the interim statement. In order to focus on your questions, we have kept it short. Let me hand it over to Markus.
Thank you, Gunhild, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our Q3 results show that we are making good progress on our short-term deliverables, which we discussed on our Capital Market Day. Let's turn to the review of the main messages for the first three quarters on slide three. The performance of RWE Group continued its positive trend. EBITDA improved by approximately 350 million euros, and adjusted net income was up by approximately 650 million euros. The latter was supported by a strong improvement of the financial result. This development is in line with our expectations, and hence we confirm the outlook we have given for 2017. We are now even more confident of achieving the upper end of our guidance. For RWE standalone, the normalization of the earnings in our trading business was the main driver for the positive development. European Power also performed well due to a higher contribution from our commercial asset optimization. Therefore, I can also confirm our expectation for RWE standalone to reach the upper end of our guidance. Although we have not yet concluded the first fiscal year of the new RWE, let's have a look at our short-term achievements as set out at our Capital Market Day. We are well on track regarding the further optimization of our operations. We have a target to improve our operational cost base by 300 million euros by 2019 compared to 2016. For fiscal year 2017, we now expect to realize more than one-third of this in our earnings. Another important goal was to bring our trading activities back to a normalized earnings level after the losses they have experienced in 2016. Our figures for the first nine months show that we are well on our way. The strong earnings contribution from commercial asset optimization in our European Power division is evidence of the excellent cooperation between our technical and commercial asset management, which we see as a real competitive advantage. In addition, we announced at our Capital Market Day steps to optimize our capital structure and our financing activities. We have called and not refinanced all 2017 hybrids. The last one of these bonds, the $1 billion US dollar one, was repaid on October 12th. With the reimbursement of the nuclear fuel tax, we gained additional financial flexibility, and we decided to use approximately one-third of the funds to buy back outstanding hybrid bonds to bring us towards our targeted range of hybrid capital and strengthen our future earnings and cash flows. The nominal value of the hybrids we bought back in Q4 amounted to 585 million euros. We paid a premium of approximately 33 million euros, which we will book in our financial result, but for which we adjust our reconciliation of adjusted net income and the distributable cash flow. As a result of the buyback, we expect a positive impact on our financial result and distributable cash flow for the residual years of the bonds of approximately 20 million euros per annum on average. As you know, we will use 650 million euros of the nuclear fuel tax refund to pay a special dividend in May next year. This leaves roughly another 500 million euros of the proceeds. We are currently working on further measures to use these proceeds, which will strengthen our cash flow profile further. We expect to announce more in due course. We also finalized the financial separation with innogy by setting up two independent credit facilities. RWE's amended 3 billion euro facility dated 2021 the main pillar to cover RWE's liquidity buffer requirements and is provided by more than 30 core banks. Let's now move on to the details of our operational performance in the first three quarters of the year. Slide 4 shows the development of our adjusted EBITDA. For RWE standalone, it amounted to 1.7 billion euros. The dominant driver in the first 9 months of 2017 was a recovery of our trading activities to a normalized level. The adjusted EBITDA also includes the energy dividend of 683 million euros for fiscal year 2016 that we received in April. In the previous year, we had a comparable figure of 730 million euros, which represents the pro forma appropriation of profits of energy subsidiaries before the IPO. And this figure was higher as it did not include any minorities from the listing of energy. Slide 5 provides the details of the performance of the Lignite and Nuclear division in Q1 to Q3 and the outlook for this division for the full year. Adjusted EBITDA has come down mainly due to the declining realized generation margins. This was partly offset by the phase-out of the nuclear fuel tax in 2016, as well as our operating cost improvements. Last year, we had a burden of approximately 150 million euros from the nuclear fuel tax in the first 9 months. The declining generation margins are also the main reason for the outlook for the full year of significantly below previous year. The European Power Division showed an earnings decline as we had significant higher positive one-offs in 2016. Among others, from the settlement of damages at our HEM Unit D power plant. Excluding non-recurring items, EBITDA was up year on year. This is mainly due to a strong earnings contribution from our commercial asset optimization and improved gas generation margins. This brings me to our current hedge position on slide 7. The strong improvement in commodity prices and spreads is reflected in our hedging. The hedge price for 2020 has improved by approximately 2 euros compared to our last update as of June 2017. Still, most of the hedging in this year is via our implicit fuel hedge and therefore still open to further changes in the spreads. Average hedge prices for 2018 and 2019 have moderately improved as well, but not enough to move the rounded prices. Compared to our situation at the end of June, we now closed the implicit fuel hedge for 2018 and reduced it for 19. On page 8, you can see the recent development of fuel spreads. They have strongly improved over recent months. Now on to the performance of supply and trading division on slide 9. By far the biggest lever is the return to normalized earnings in our trading business after the losses we incurred last year. As we have already achieved the average normalized EBITDA which we expect for this business, you will probably ask what we expect for the full year. Of course, we could end the year slightly above the Q1 to Q3 result. However, as you know, this is a volatile business. Slide 10 provides the earnings drivers down to adjusted net income. Our adjusted net income number reached 930 million euros in the first 9 months of 2017. With this, we have already reached our full year guidance. Please bear in mind that the 9 months figures already include the full energy dividend. But of course, it makes us very confident that we will finish the year at the upper end of our guidance. Besides the typical adjustment of non-operating result, we have adjustments in the financial result, the minorities and tax position. All effects relate to the reimbursement of the nuclear fuel tax are adjusted. In the financial result, we have also adjusted for the effects from the changes in discount rates for nuclear and other long-term provisions, as well as interest resulting from tax audits for former fiscal years. In the minorities position, we have adjusted for the effect of the reclassification and write-down at our Matra participation. Taxes were adjusted accordingly. Now on to distributable cash flow on slide 11. In the first 9 months of the year, distributable cash flow reached 493 million euros. Compared to H1, it came down by approximately 140 million euros. This is mainly a result of the development in our working capital. It showed a swing of approximately 390 million euros in the third quarter, which is mainly down to the seasonality of working capital. In addition, as I mentioned in my H1 presentation, we phased out some working capital optimization measures due to our increased financial flexibility. For the year as a whole, we confirm our expectation for the change in provision in the order of 650 million euros, as we have guided previously. The details of net debt are shown on slide 12. At the end of September, it stood at 3.4 billion euros for RWE standalone, approximately 3.5 billion below the end of fiscal year 2016. There are three main drivers. First, the positive distributable cash flow. Second, the refund of the nuclear fuel tax of 1.7 billion euros. And thirdly, a positive effect from a reduction in provisions, mainly pension provisions, which accounted for an improvement of 500 million euros. One reason is that the discount rate for our German pension provisions is increased from 1.7 to 1.9%. Furthermore, pension assets performed well and thus contributed to a decline in pension provisions. For the year as a whole, we expect a net debt figure clearly below the previous year's figure, but above the level as of September 2017. The main reason is the loss of equity credit for the called US dollar hybrid and the buyback of hybrid bonds, both in October. This will increase our net debt by approximately 700 million euros. On slide 13, you can see the details of our outlook for RWE standalone for 2017. I have already said that we can confirm the outlook and that we are quite confident to end the year at the upper end of the guidance. The same applies for the outlook for the consolidated group KPIs, which you can find in the appendix on slide 16. This concludes my remarks, and we are now happy to take your questions. Gunhild, please.
Thank you, Markus. Although everybody knows it quite well, let me just repeat our two-question rule. Operator, could we please have the first question?
If you would like to ask the question, please press 01. So the first question is from Vincent Gilles of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Two very simple questions. The first one is on slide 15, the column adjustments. Inevitable question, if you can help us see through this adjustment. I guess it's nuclear fuel tax related, but maybe there are other elements we need to be aware of. And the second question is supply and trading. Good news, it's getting better. Can you help us get a feeling for what a sustainable level of profitability would be across a normal year, whatever normal means?
Yeah, thank you for the questions. Let me start with the last one. A normalized level for a full year is around 200 million EBITDA. So that is where we are already at the end of September.
So that's still the same number as the one you gave in the past.
Exactly. I mean, it's a volatile business, but on average, we expect the business to make around 200 million. Of course, I made clear in my remarks that we could end this year slightly higher than the 200 million, given that we are already at 200 million at the end of September, but that's still, I mean, a volatile business, so let's see where we are at year end. Then on page 15, the adjustments, I mean, we adjust for the non-operating result and all related tax and minority effects. So these are the nuclear fuel tax, other non-operating effects, and also MATRA, which is now in the non-operating result reflected. And then on top, we adjust the financial result for changes in discount rates, because this is typically shown one-off effects in the financial result and would distort our financial results significantly because it is quite low in absolute terms. These are the major adjustments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question is from John Musk of RBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, everyone. Two numbers questions really for me. Firstly, you sort of hinted at it, but the You've obviously achieved the vast majority of your net income guidance already. Just wondering why you aren't able to potentially increase the guidance, given the seasonality in Q4 is usually quite high, or the weighting in Q4 is usually quite high. And then secondly, on the net debt figure, can you just outline the 600 million variation margin? I assume that's just related to the higher commodity prices. And then if we're thinking about year-end net debt, are there any other movements to think about other than really just adding on the 0.7 billion related to the hybrids?
Yeah. John, I mean, yes, we made clear we are more optimistic about reaching the upper end of the guidance than we have been 3 months ago. Whether we will end the year even above the guidance, that's too early to speculate. I mean, let's see where we are at year end, but I think we are hinting in that direction that we are even more confident than we have been in H1. On net debt, yes, the improvement, the 600 million variation margin is higher commodity prices, especially, I mean, actually across all commodities, especially carbon, which was higher in Q3. When it comes to net debt at year end, we have three relevant figures. The first one is the distributable cash flow we achieve in Q4. The second one is, you already mentioned, 700 million we lose in equity credit from the hybrid buybacks. And then also the other effects, like whether we spend another 500 million on from the nuclear fuel tax reimbursement on investments which would strengthen cash flow in the following years, whether that is net debt relevant, this investment or not, remains to be seen. And then the last thing is also variation margins, again, which could also move net debt. So our expectation, we will clearly end the year below last year's figures, but above Q3.
Is that okay, John?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question is from Lueder Schumacher of SocGen.
The question is really what?
Yes, good morning or good afternoon. Two questions for me. The first one is on the outlook for spreads and carbon market reform. I mean, you said you closed your position on 2018. Do you see these spreads as fairly valued now? Or, I mean, I would have thought, given that you recently demothballed two more gas-fired plants, that market is getting rather tight over the winter. So basically your outlook on spreads and then also carbon market reform, that would be interesting. And the second one is on the various discussions on German coal exit. I know it's probably early days, but there appear to be two rather distinctly different models being discussed. The first one is just straight closures. And the second one is a bit more complicated one, where emissions could be allocated, remaining emissions could be allocated to coal plants, similar to electricity production volumes during the nuclear phase-out. Do you have any idea in which direction these discussions are going, or is it just too early to tell?
Lueder, there are even more concepts discussed, but as Gunhild said, I will not start speculating on what I think the outcome might be, and also not speculating on what the impact on RWE is. We are not, obviously not part of the negotiation, so we're going to sit and wait, and when we have the final result, if there is any, then we're going to analyze, and then we're going to tell you what the impact is and what we think about it. Yeah, but let's not speculate during the ongoing coalition talks. On your other questions, spread levels and European carbon scheme, I mean, you observe, as we do, the carbon price. We think by the measures taken in Brussels, the EU ETS has been strengthened significantly. Of course, market stability reserve and elimination of certificates will happen in the 20s, so maybe it's too early to move prices, but I mean, it's a clear strong signal to strengthen it, which we really appreciate, because the European ETS is the only efficient and relevant tool to steer European carbon emissions. All other measures are not helpful. So we appreciate, but what it really will do to carbon prices, too early. I mean, the market will work it out, and then we're going to see where prices go. On spreads, I mean, your implicit conclusion that what we think about spread levels in 2018 is definitely not wrong, because otherwise we would have left the position open. But it's not a pure trading position. It's also kind of risk managing already the next year, so that we can give clearer guidance. And so there is a tendency to close a position as we go into the year, because we don't expect much movement. If for whatever reason spreads are even higher, more capacity would move into the money. So on the spread position, which you can see on slide 7, the 50 to 70 terawatt hours will go up if spreads even go further. And that would bring additional money. The two additional gas turbines we have demothballed and which are now up and running or up and available, we don't expect a very significant terawatt hour number, but of course it shows you what we think where the market goes, and that we have much tighter markets in winter times. Actually, these two turbines already run last week when we see kind of a mini Dunkelflaute in Germany.
Very good.
Thank
you.
Okay, Luda? Thank you,
yeah,
Luda.
That's great.
Thanks. Next question, please.
The next question is from Alberto Gandolfi of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. I also have two on my side. The first one is on not talking about coal phase-out and the discussion at the government, but my idea would be, I think at the moment there's quite a lot of focus on what you could lose in terms of revenues from any coal and lignite phase-out. The proposal seems to be like 3-5 gigawatts on the CDU-FDP side and, you know, 8-10 gigs on the green side. Can I ask you, you must have run some simulation analysis on what would this do, you think, to the German forward curves? So what would happen to the power price and what would happen to the spark spread under that scenario? I'm just trying to see if there's any offset for you. Second question is bigger picture. Should I take your comment about 500 million as the absolute maximum releveraging potential you have at this stage? And would you be willing to use that to acquire some assets? We have seen lots of acquisitions, for instance, on CCGTs being very quite cheap actually at the moment. So should we think about that for acquisition? And if so, maybe could you confirm that gas and potentially some renewables would be your structural areas of interest for reinvestment? Thank you.
First, I'm glad that you are in the call, Alberto, and I'm really sorry about yesterday evening. I'm serious. So,
more of a tennis fan as of last night. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, nice try. I'm of course, you can be assured that we run our models and that we know exactly how current market prices, what they assume in terms of closures and what needs to happen to justify current market prices. Whether we think it's going, that's very important for us, both on trading and on hedging. But I can also tell you, I will not tell you the results. Yeah. So that is a company secret which we also use to make some money here and there. What our models actually show. So you should run your own models, and I'm pretty sure you have already done that. On the potential investment, the 500 million, I think that's also speculation. Now, it will always depend on how we invest the money, how that is perceived by the rating agencies, what that does to the risk profile, and so on. I think there is some more additional headroom. But it really depends on how we invest. Coming to your proposals, I think gas is definitely a good proposal. On renewables, please keep in mind that we have our agreement in principle with Innogy, and with a 77% subsidiary, it doesn't make sense to start competing with them, so renewable business is with Innogy.
That's fine,
thank
Alberto.
You.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question is from Michael Depp of the D-Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Two questions, please. Number one, on energy, you have said that it's a financial investment and down the line you would like to diversify, do you have a preference between diversifying through a rotation of the capital in energy, i.e. selling stakes in energy to buy something else, or would you rather diversify energy itself, making it a broader portfolio? My second question has to do with the Netherlands, where a new government is drafting energy policy. And from what I can understand, you're exposed to the Netherlands to a government who wants to tax CO2 prices and apparently possibly face some coal. Could you tell us a little more about what they're actually planning to do and how you think this will impact your business, please? Thank you very much.
Michel, on energy, I think there's nothing new. I can just repeat what we said before. Yes, it is a financial investment. So the management approach is value maximization. It will always depend on the alternative investment opportunities. They definitely need to meet the current energy yield as a hurdle rate, which is 4-4.5% dividend yield currently. But I will not point in any direction what our thinking is. So whenever we there is no need to do anything because, I mean, financially we have lots of headroom. Liquidity situation is very healthy, so there is no need to do anything. If we decide to do anything, we will tell you and also argue why we think that is the right thing to do, but we will not pre-announce anything, which is not yet clear. On the Netherlands, the agreement, the coalition agreement is clear, that is published everywhere, what they intend to do. I mean, as usual, the Netherlands now, what they set up is a very broad dialogue to work out the details and the specific measures. The industry is also invited to that. So it's much too early to tell you what that really will do to our business, because it will depend on what kind of measures they take. Also the question on how they probably compensate, that was always on the table in the Netherlands, clear compensation. And for us, I mean, our portfolio there is quite balanced. We have 2 gigawatt of coal, but also 2 gigawatt of gas, currently partly mothballed, which could potentially come back. On the subsidy on biomass, we expect that all our existing contracts will stay in place.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michel. Next question, please.
The next question is from Deepa Venkateshwaran of Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My two questions. The first one is, if you could, I mean, you've shown on page 8 that you've seen the spreads improve, especially out to 2020. Could you just help us understand how this changed picture? What the change picture means for your dividend policy, because it was, if I'm not mistaken, also partially linked to you being able to see improvement in spreads. And my second question is on the carbon reforms. You mentioned that, you know, it might depend. There are some external forecasts of a carbon price as high as in the 30s. So in the year, say, 2021, assuming no big change to your lignite fleet, what would be the impact of a carbon price if it went to around 30 euros per ton? Thank you.
Yeah, deeper on page 8, I mean, I would not link that to dividend policy. That, I mean, page 8 more shows what our earnings potential in future years, for example, in 19 and 20 is, and our dividend policy will stay in place, so we will pay out our distributable cash flow to 100%, as we said, not on a yearly basis, but on average. But especially for 20, and I mean, spreads have significantly more improved in October already, but there is some market speculation expectation that something will happen on potential closures in Germany. So it's too early to now discuss what happens about 20, because partly these measures could affect us. Then the spreads would stay at the current level. If nothing happens, spreads would go down again. So let's not talk about 20. Also at the Capital Market Day, we were very clear about 18 and 19. 18, we're going to see maybe the low because of realized power prices coming down further. In 19, we see significant recovery of the result in distributable cash flow because of the different things we said before. And as I said in the last call, and I can just reiterate it, we will give a new dividend guidance with our full-year result presentation in Q1 next year, because then we know also the results of the coalition agreement. and can have a better assessment of that. What would that mean? Have a clear picture on 18, and so expect an update on dividend guidance in Q1 next year. Your second question on EU ETS, I mean, we were very transparent and said that the lignite, the entire lignite complex, so mining and power plants, is cash neutral at prices of 22 euros. These prices are defined as baseload prices minus CO2 prices. You have the current prices, and you know that the carbon intensity of lignite is slightly above 1 ton per megawatt hour, and the pass-through factor of carbon you have in your model, so you can run your calculation what different CO2 prices would do to the lignite business in terms of cash contribution.
Okay, so if I basically said a minus 0.4 euro roughly, assuming an intensity of say 0.7 for the pass-through factor and 1.1 for your fleet, that times maybe 60 terawatt hours or something in 2021, that would sort of give the overall impact then. But maybe there's some offset from gas or something running more.
Yeah, exactly. Because you need to replace it then. Yeah, definitely. But the type of calculation is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Deepa. Next question, please.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01. You have received the next question from Nick Ashworth of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. A couple of questions from me. Firstly, there's a lot of cost efficiency sprinkled through the results through the presentation. And Marcus, I think you talked a little bit about it on the call. Can you just talk a little bit about where you are in that program and where that can be developed from here? Because it feels like you're a little bit ahead of where you're expecting to be. And then secondly, CapEx for the full year, ignoring what may or may not happen with the 500 million left over. Where do you expect CapEx to be for the full year?
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. Cost efficiency, we said we're going to achieve a 300 million until 2019. The split is 200 million in lignite and nuclear and 100 million in European power. And our assumption is that we are slightly better than one-third already at the end of this year. So we should expect another slightly below 200 million for 18 and 19. But it's too early to now discuss whether we're going to set up another program. That also depends on what's going to happen to our capacity over time. And I think it's not worth discussing the next program after having realized the existing one. So we will discuss that and update you maybe in the second half of 2018, whether we do more or not. Yeah. On CapEx, our full year guidance was always 350 to 400 million. This year we expect more to end at the upper end because of our investments into biomass conversion in the Netherlands, which is more than pure maintenance CapEx. Pure maintenance is around 350 for the full year.
Cool. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Next question, please.
The next question is a follow-up of Michel Debs of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Me again. On the commercial optimization, if my memory serves me right, you had spoken about a middle double-digit uplift to your H1 numbers, and you also said at the time that this performance was not necessarily sustainable. Could you please update us on the performance of CAO over the first 9 months of the year? And whether, as markets improve, you now think that maybe you can carry some of that uplift going forward and permanently get more earnings from that activity. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michel. It's still the same number. It's a double million digit number for also the first 9 months. So Q3, the summer months, are more or less in line with what we have seen in the previous years. Yeah, I mean, the market is more tighter, so we expect slightly higher results also in future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michel. Are there any more questions?
Yes, we have the next question of Lars Paulsen of Bloomberg News. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. given that you're the majority shareholder of Innogy, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the development in the UK retail market in terms of the deal with Npower and SSC, and also if you could give me some comments on whether you think there will be further consolidation there. Thank you very much.
Please understand that we will not comment on the operating business of Innogy. I mean, we fully support what they are intending to do in the UK. We think that's the right step for that business, but I will not speculate about the retail market in the UK. That's a question for the Innogy management, please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more questions?
Yes, we have a follow-up of Nick Ashworth of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, just on your Amprion stake, I don't think I've heard you talk about it for a little while. Do you have any views around what could happen with that in time?
Yeah, we continue to expect a good dividend from that stake.
And so, therefore, you are happy to hold on to it for the time being?
Very happy.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Next question.
There are no further questions.
Then thank you very much, everybody. If you have any follow-on questions, then do please reach out to us. You know where to reach us. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.